Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Most of us make some kind of promises to ourselves at this time of year. We set goals and we make resolutions that we intend to keep. We make resolutions of all kinds of things that we're going to accomplish this next 12 months. That kind of sets the stage for what we see in practice in the Old Testament story of God's people as they reach the borders of the Promised Land. I was, earlier in my life, a kind of highly paid consultant, and it was my job to go to leaderships of corporations and try to make sure that they made the correct decisions, that they put in the procedures that were necessary to take care of the transitions the company was making, and also to make sure that the company made a profit for the overall good of the company. Imagine for a moment that you're the consultant that God has sent to advise Joshua on his new role as the leader of God's chosen people. Just think about that. Old leadership is being left behind. We're getting rid of the old leadership. The old leader, Moses, was good. God spoke to Moses. But Moses disqualified himself from going on into God's land because of his disobedience. And so even though Moses was going to see the promises of God from the mountaintop where he went, looking across the Jordan into the land of plenty, the promised land, the land of milk and honey, even though he could see it, he was going to be left behind. He was disqualified for leading the congregation of God across the river, through the challenges, and into the promised land. And so God had chosen another man, Joshua. Joshua, a word that is pronounced in Hebrew, Yeshua. It's in Greek, the word we translate to mean Jesus. It means God saves. And so God has chosen Joshua to save that community of faith that he has drawn out of bondage in Egypt, cared for, nurtured, looked after all this time. They're on the border of the promised land. They're on the border that is there because of the Jordan River, and he has chosen Joshua, to lead them on. As a consultant, how would you prepare Joshua for this arduous task? After all, we know that it's not going to be easy. You know, today, we look at this new year, and we know it's not going to be easy. I can hear the coughs everywhere. You know, people forget that I can see you, and I can hear you. If you get up and run around, I see you. And if you snore, I see that too. Some of you don't have any hair on your arm left because your wives have pulled it off because you kept falling asleep. Now, you're preparing Joshua to take on a responsibility he's never had. I'm sure Joshua wanted to turn around and say, "Let Moses do it." I don't want to do that. I've been there. I mean, I came kicking and screaming into the ministry. I did not come with a shiny face and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." I was dragged into this. God had to tell me he'd kill me if I didn't do what he told me to. Now, I met a lot of people who didn't have to suffer that. Thank God for them. But I was a reluctant warrior because I had seen evidences of how hard this job really was. First of all, you have to deal with people. People are tough. Joshua knew that too. So your question for you today is, how do you consult Joshua? How do you get him ready to make the decisions that he must make as the leader of God's people? And the reason I want you to undergo that exercise is because each and every one of you is called to go across the Jordan River. Each and every one of you is called to face all the problems that Joshua is going to face. Each and every one of you is called to be a leader among men because God has chosen you to follow Him. So it's not simply an academic question. How do you do the things? Well, first of all, I want you to humble yourselves and realize that the job of consultant is too big for a man or woman to do. It's too big for a church committee or a church board or a constitution of the United States of America written by men. It is a job so big that only God can do it. That's the kind of job we want to see that we're a part of. We want to be stepping out into a future that is controlled by God. We want to be a part of what God wants to do. If our dreams are so small that they can be accomplished by our focusing on how we can make those things happen, then our dreams are too small. We want to think about how we can do what only God can prepare us to do. Now, God uses words to encourage Joshua, to empower him. And He uses those same words to empower and encourage you and I as we face the challenges of this new year. We're going to face giants. Joshua knew there were giants in this promised land that would have to be slain. They would have to be destroyed for the people to inherit. He knew that there were seven nations in that promised land that were going to fight them for every inch of land they took. Just like you know that this coming year we will face hardships. We will face all kinds of challenges. Maybe they'll be in the name of cancer. Some of us have already faced that. Maybe it will be in the face of something like heart disease. Some of us have already faced that. Maybe you will face the loss of someone we hold so dear who has died. Many of us have faced that. Some of us will face hardships of our pockets being too empty to go on, or we don't think we can do it. But when we face those hardships, we need to hear the words of God encouraging us that through Him all things are possible. That He can take nothing and create a universe. That He can take nothing and create you and I. That He has the power, that He has the intention, that He has the love to comfort us, protect us, provide for us, and encourage us and empower us to do every single thing He calls us to do. For the Bible teaches us, for those who are called according to His will, there won't be anything that's impossible for them. You can say to the mountain that stands before you, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will go. And so let us eagerly learn what God empowers us to do and learn how we can do it as we go before Him in prayer today. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, give us words to live by. Let us know that Your Word is true and that Your promises are never failing. Let us understand that You are the one who cares for us when a whole world seems to be against us. That You can set up a victory plan for those of us who face insurmountable odds. And we thank You that You have given us so many examples of how You have done this for us. Father, I know that I do not have the power to persuade today. And we don't want persuaded people, almost persuaded people. We want people to feel the infilling of Your Spirit today and be totally and completely changed. We want to be those people who set out into that new year, into this promised land that You're providing with the blessed assurance that You are the one that's leading us. So cast my words out. Let us not hear the words of a man. Let us hear Your words today. For Your words are words of life and death. Your words are the words that create. You spoke and the universe was cast into being. Father, may we experience that kind of transformational voice in our souls today. May we have ears to hear and hearts to receive, minds that are open to understand what You would say to us as we stand on the frontier of a new beginning. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God's chosen deliverer, God's chosen leader, Moses, being left behind. He's never going to see the promised land for himself. He's never going to experience it. And we could stop and we could talk about what stops us from achieving the things that only God wants us to have. We could stop right there. We could just stop there on the edge of the river. And we could say, these are the reasons why we're not allowed, why we're disqualified. Let me tell you something. Here is the good news. That what Christ did on the cross, if you receive it, qualifies you for heaven. It qualifies you for all the promises. It qualifies you for every good and perfect thing. You can have it because Jesus gave it all. So, we won't stop with Moses just being left behind, having been disqualified, because if we were to stop there, then we would have to all stop because we're all disqualified, because we're all sinners, saved by grace. None of us have earned our way into God's kingdom. Jesus alone paid the price for our entrance into heaven. So, what does God do to Joshua to translate him into the man who's going to lead that contentious people? Let us read verses 1 through 9 in Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, So I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe all things that I have commanded you. Then for you, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are the words of God. The first thing God does is he reminds Joshua that we're supposed to stop and remember everything God has done for us before we go on. It's a good time for us to do that, too. It's a good time for us to stop and check out all the things that God has done before we go into the new year. God wants us to know, each of us to remember what he has already done for you personally, what he has done for your family, what he has done for you. In verse 3, God reminds Joshua what has happened in the past, as I said unto Moses. And then in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God is telling his new leader that things are going to be just like they were before. That God never changes, that his word never changes. That you can count on God, that his faithfulness is always with you. God wants us to know that he has never forsaken us, and he will never forsake you. That he loves you, that he cares for you, that he has sacrificed his own son for you. As we look into the new year, we are not to be afraid, for if we know the God of the past who has taken us through heart condition, I have had a heart attack. God's taken me through that. I have had bypass operations. God's taken me through that. God alone is responsible for me standing here. God has done that. If we understand what God has done, if we understand that God has helped us and he healed us, he's provided for us, he has taken care of us to this very moment, if we understand that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. If I have, I personally have seen God's helping hand so many times in my own life and in the life of the church. Oh, we've sometimes faced struggles. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that everything has been perfect. Yes, we've faced struggles. We've stood on the Red Sea that would drown us, and we've had Satan's army behind us driving us into that sea. But God has always opened the sea and prepared for us a way to cross over. Every time. He has forgiven us time and time and time again. He has provided us with a house, with something to eat. He has never let us be forsaken. He has provided for us every time. He has taken care of us. If we know that he has done that, if we are assured that he is with us as he was with Moses, if we understand that he'll never leave us or forsake us, then we have a different attitude than those who have never felt his touch in their lives before. We know that if we continue to serve him by faith, he will continue to be everything we need. He says, I will provide for you. If you've walked through the desert and God has provided manna that fell from heaven. God has provided for them. God has provided quail that fell out of the sky. He has provided water that came out of rock. He has provided for 2 million people for 40 years. Their clothes never wore out. The soles of their sandals never wore out. He has provided for them. And if He's provided this much, and if you look back and can say that, you'll worship Him not only for what He's done, but because of who He is. God's mercy, forgiveness, is something that we need to understand and we need to praise Him for it. We need to say, thank you, Father. We need to thank God before we start out across that new frontier. A second thing is that God defines Joshua's new calling precisely. God tells Joshua to step out. To step out. Boy, it's hard to overcome our sitting mode, isn't it? I know that I can sit in my house in my particular chair. My wife's finally figured out why I sit there. I sit there because the glare doesn't hit the television at all. She could never understand why I would not be a party of everybody else. It's because I like that chair. My bottom perfectly conforms to that chair. Or that chair conforms to my bottom, whichever way you like it, either half full or half empty. The fact is that it takes something to move us, to get us on our way, to take that first step. Jesus says, follow me. Do we do that? Do we take a step out? Do we walk on the water? Do we step out on the water? Peter did. Peter walked out on the water a little ways, and then he took his eyes off Jesus, the pastors say, and he began to sink. What happened to Peter was that he took his eyes not just off of Jesus, but off the promises of come, step out, walk with me. God precisely tells Joshua to walk out, to step across the river, into the face of the challenges that are there. Boy, that's something we don't want to do, isn't it? I mean, we're facing a tough year. We're facing a tough year. Forget it. All the talking heads tell me that's the truth. Every time I turn on television, someone's telling me what a tough year we're going to have. Every time I look in the mirror, I look at Monero and say, good grief, what's going to happen next year? What else can turn white? We have lots of reasons to fear unless we understand that the God of the past is our God in the present, and He'll be our God that leads us into the future. Then we have nothing to fear. We can go on and face those challenges. And so God tells Joshua precisely to step out, to step into the challenges, that there were no man, nothing man does. You know, the Bible tells us that no weapon formed will prosper when it comes against you. No weapon formed will prosper coming against you. That means that anything Satan wants to do to you will fail because God has provided for you. Oh, you may lose your health, but God wins the battle. You may lose your life, but God wins the victory. As long as you are in the will of God and are following Him, you are on the right path. So God tells Joshua to step out, to step across the river into the face of the giants that face him, into the face of the seven nations that are going to fight him every inch of the way. And He says that wherever he puts the sole of his foot, that will be God's gift to God's people. I want you to think about that. This is a huge territory that God is giving to His people. By telling them that the Hittites will not be able to prevail against them, that no giant's going to be able to prevail against them, that nothing will prevail against them, as long as they are in God's perfect will, nothing will touch them. Because that's what He's telling you. What would your response be? Well, I tell you, my response would have been, oh no, not me. You mean, wait a minute, God, you want these cantankerous, complaining, hungry Jews, this 2 million rowdy people, you want me to lead them across? All they're asking for is cucumbers and things from heaven. They only want comfort. They don't want any challenges. They don't want to be your warriors. They don't mind being a little bit of a servant, but they don't want to be a warrior. They're not going to put anything of theirs at risk. You want me to do that? Oh, no, 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 no. That's doomed to failure. That's not for me. You know, I hear a little bit of that every Sunday morning. You know, people say, boy, that was a great message, Pastor. I only wish the people who really needed to hear it were here. Joshua doesn't say that. Joshua, like the prophet, says, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll take on the challenge, because if you're the God that's big enough to destroy the giants, you're the God big enough to conform the hearts of this 2 million rowdy Jews into obedience to follow me. And so God precisely tells him what that message is. Now, I have been in the real world long enough to know that unless you have some boundaries, unless you understand your precise vision of what you're supposed to be doing, it's hard to get you motivated. And so we try to do it step by step. That's exactly what God does to Joshua. God does it step by step, one step at a time. He tells him that wherever he steps, that's going to be his. It's going to be his and the gift of God to God's people for all time. He says, you can have it this big. This is a parameter. This is how much you can have. But he does it step by step. Precisely. Now this new year, we need to realize that that's what we're going to face up to. We're going to need his guidance, his protection, his deliverance. We're going to need it. If we don't have it, we can't get along the way. We certainly can't follow God. Now, you may say, I've made a resolution to lose weight, or I've made a resolution to stop smoking, or stop drinking, or to stop nagging my wife, or stop doing this. All the wives said amen. I've made a decision to do this or do that. Those are small decisions. Have you asked yourself, what does God want me to do? Well, I can tell you from God's word that God wants you to turn the other cheek 70 times 7. I can tell you that God wants you to love your brother like you love yourself. I can tell you that God wants you to be his ambassador to a lost and dying world. I can tell you from God's word what he commands that you do, that you love one another unconditionally as you have been loved, that you forgive one another unconditionally as you have been forgiven. I can tell you that God has expectations for what you are to do this coming year. And whatever God sets out for you, whether it is a big vision, I want to build a place back here on our property for people to live because there is simply not enough places for people to live with dignity in their old age. Now, I would like to see that happen. But that is only my vision unless God takes that vision and implants it on the hearts of lots and lots of people to make it happen. God has a vision, a plan for your life for this year. And you can say, well, I'm too old, or I'm too heavy, or I'm too slow, or I'm too young, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. That's not the question. The question is, will you be obedient to do what God wants you to do? That is the question. Make a resolution to stay with him or to go with him. And if we are going to go with him, if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to follow him through the hardships, through the obstacles, because God will knock down every mountain. God will destroy every enemy. God will do what God has promised to do. But we have to be faithful to follow even when we don't see that happening. We have to go on with him. We have to say, wherever he leads, we'll go. Third, God enables Joshua by telling him to be strong. In verse 6, God says, be strong. In verse 7, only thou be strong. In verse 9, have I not commanded you to be strong? God wants us to do some lifting. Now, God's going to do all the heavy lifting. But God wants you engaged with him. He wants you to be useful to him. There are a lot of people that say, well, I'm a Christian now. I think I'll retire, step back, and let God. That is not what this Bible teaches. This Bible says we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And he says to us, these things I do, you will do. And greater, because I go to be with the Father. So we know that God's intent for us is to do what Jesus did on this earth. Every single time. And God wants us to have courage. He tells Joshua in verse 6, be of good courage. In verse 7, be of very courageous. In verse 9, have I not commanded you to be of good courage? The word that we have translated in our Bibles, courage, is related to the word daring. You dare to do something. You step out in faith to do it. You can't step out without courage. You can't face the giants of cancer and heart disease and family relationships and whatever else you face without courage that you have placed in the Lord. It's not your personal courage. Just like it's not your personal faith. God has given you faith. God gives you the courage. God is the giver of all good and perfect things you have in your life. So God is the source of that. And God teaches Joshua in verse 8 that there is a roadmap to follow on his journey, and the word of God has been revealed to Moses, was included in the first five books of the Bible. In Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Numbers and Deuteronomy, those five books were the Torah. And God revealed his word. That's the only books we know that Joshua took with him into the promised land. But God tells him in verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. The word meditate doesn't mean that you'll read it once and forget it. It means that you'll think about it, that you'll meditate on it, that you'll be involved with it and engaged with it. It means that you will be moved by it. It means that it will have the power to illuminate, but also the power to motivate. He is going to illuminate and motivate you to do what he wants you to do. And if you will keep that in your mind, he's telling Joshua to focus on the real things, the important things, not on, what happens in the funny papers, not what happens on television, but to keep your faith not focused in the government, but in God. Because God is the one who writes the words. John Bunyan wrote on the flyleaf of his Bible something that I think is worth repeating. He wrote right here on the flyleaf of his Bible. He said, this word will either keep you out of sin, or sin will keep you out of this book. And that's true. If you're meditating upon the Word of God, it will keep you on the straight path that leads to heaven. It will keep you on the straight path that leads you to the promised land, that land of abundance and milk and honey. And if you begin with God's Word, you can't go wrong. You've got a system. I've got one of these systems that they bought me to put in my car to navigate because my wife's not always with me. When my wife's with me, she'll say, why don't you turn here? Why don't you turn there? But there's also a female voice that tells me these things from this little navigational thing device when I plug it in. When I plug it in, it sometimes makes mistakes. I go, ha, 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 ha. when I realized that the guidance system has made a mistake. When I am plugged into the Holy Spirit of God, He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't tell me to turn left if my destination should lead me to the right. He doesn't tell me that there are road hazards before me. He tells me how to navigate through life with absolute surety. That's what God tells Joseph to do. Joshua to do. Joshua needs to know that he has to be strong and courageous, remembering that he never travels alone. You know, that's the one great thing about the coming year. We don't have to go there by ourselves. Because when we face the storms of life, the one who stills the storms is in the boat with us. He's the one that tells us to step out on the waters. He's the one that says, be still to the waters and to the winds that blow against us. If we are built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about the path that we are to follow. It's not our will that needs to be done. It's God's will in our lives that needs to be done. We should pause and reflect on that true path we are to follow. Or we remember God's promises and His purpose for our life. We think too small. We just don't attempt the big things that God allows us to do. You know, when watching football games, you'll watch a guy, and I was watching one last night that said that the defensive line looked like they were getting weaker by the third or fourth quarter, and that they just were going through the motions. You ever been a Christian that just kind of went through the motions? God says every play, you give everything you've got, every time. Because He is there cheerleading you on. He is there saying, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it, go for it. I will prepare the way. I will provide a way. I will make sure it happens. And you know, that same defensive line last night that I was watching, that the commentators had said were just going through the motions, stiffened their backs at some point, and they stood their ground, and that team won the game. You need to understand that God is the one that stiffens your back. We seldom ask God what He wants us to do. We attempt to do the things that seem right to us. But if we humble ourselves and expose ourselves to God and to what God wants for our lives, then we, like Joshua, can simply step one step at a time and cast all of our cares upon Him. Our Savior and Lord, God's gift to each and every one of us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We place our faith in Him, remembering all of His benefits, knowing that all the storms and challenges of life that lay ahead are nothing to us because He has brought us through all the storms that lay behind. And He will guide us all the way safely into harbor. He is our God. There is nothing impossible for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Nothing. Not even a cell phone. I got a laugh out of the wife. It's okay. It's all right. It's a reminder that the world reaches into us even when God wants to say something to us. Doesn't that always happen to us? My wife thinks I spend my life on the phone. Don't you? Yep. Fact is that the world reaches in even when God is trying to speak to us. There's something competing with His voice for our attention. this morning, this day, this new beginning, let us hear His voice alone, casting out everything else and being obedient to what He calls us to do.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.